I think I'll just proceed with the next presentation. If we have time left over, maybe we'll just allot it to someone else if they go over. So I'm the next presenter. My name is Travis Alexander. I'm currently a postdoc with Dr. Carol Miles at the Washington State University Northwestern Washington Research and Extension Center in Mount Vernon. If you're unfamiliar, we're a little over an hour north of Seattle. Continuing from my presentation at last year's conference, today I'll be presenting on my comparison of the polyphenol profiles of juice and cider derived from machine versus hand-harvested brown snout in Northwest Washington. If you're unfamiliar, what is a cider apple and how does it really differ from a dessert apple? Externally, the fruit can look quite similar as evidenced on this slide. On the left, we have the fruit of a prominent cider apple cultivar, Kingston Black, and the right, the fruit of a soon-to-be prominent dessert apple cultivar, Washington 38. You see, the fruit on the right is a little bit bigger, but they both have that same lenticel constellation patterning, same color. If you bit into the fruit on the left, I would expect you to taste the sensory attributes and feel sourness, bitterness, astringency, attributes that consumers have deemed desirable in the production of various fermented beverages. If you bit into the fruit on the right, while I haven't tasted it myself, but I've been told, you will taste and feel the attributes of sweetness and crispness, attributes that consumers have deemed desirable in the production of various raw fruit commodities. So basically, it's the internal quality characteristics of these two types of apples that differentiate them and would differentiate them from the third type of apple, culinary. So what was the issue that I was addressing? Maximizing labor output, minimizing labor input has driven who and how crops are harvested day to day in this country. Historically, the agricultural sector has cycled through various labor pools in response to economic, social thresholds, with automation of production an increasing end target. While I recognize that mechanization of production is not yet viable for all crops, there exist crops currently with great potential, and we believe that cider apples is one of those. Growers, cider apple growers in Europe have been utilizing machines to harvest their fruit for many decades, predominantly between the rows cider apple harvesters. They function via a shake and sweep system. So seen on the left, the tractor-mounted trunk shaker knocks the fruit to the ground, and on the right, that tractor-mounted groundfall harvester collects the fruit. There are three reasons why we believe this equipment would be unsuitable, and really the system, for Washington State cider apple growers. The first is that the higher density plantings in Washington State relative to Europe, specifically the narrow between-row spacing, inhibits the application of this large equipment, about 15 feet between rows. Second, the planting of less vigorous, less anchoring rootstocks in Washington relative to Europe provide for more susceptibility to possible uprooting in the short-term or long-term damage to the health of the roots in Washington relative to what they've been planting in Europe. And then third, there's food safety concerns with utilizing groundfalls in the production of cider in light of the Food Safety Modernization Act. Now, since 2008, researchers in our program, really led by Dr. Carol Miles, have been evaluating an alternative system, a shake-and-catch system, specifically evaluating equipment known as over-the-row small fruit harvester. Why these? Well, they're readily used and available in our region. Over-the-row small fruit harvesters are used in the state for the harvesting of processed raspberries, utilized in Brazil for the harvesting of coffee, and were evaluated for the harvesting of tart cherries in Michigan State. There are three reasons why we believe this equipment would be suitable for cider apple growers. The equipment travels over the row rather than between, so theoretically allowing for denser planting. Second, the fruit is retained within the harvester, so theoretically there should be no groundfall, so you shouldn't have any potential regulatory issues with utilizing groundfalls because you won't be using groundfalls. The third one is that the trunk is not directly shaken, so you shouldn't have to worry about possible uprooting or long-term rootstock health. Now, Alexander et al. 2016 found that yield and juice quality did not differ due to harvest method. At the same time, Alexander et al. 2017 demonstrated sensory attribute differences, including bitterness and astringency, due to harvest method, as evaluated by a training panel and electronic tongue. Now, I think it's important to note that while the results of these two studies might provide for contrasting adoption recommendations, Alexander et al. 2016 measured polyphenols by titration. So they really only looked at one class within a rather large and diverse group, just looked at tannic acid. And Alexander L. 2017, in terms of sensory evaluation, looked at the perceptions of astringency and bitterness, But we know that not all polyphenols elicit or trigger the puckering or bitter responses. Thus, the need for the study that I'm presenting on today. The study was conducted in Mount Vernon in the year 2016. The cultivar that was harvested was brown snout. The reason we selected it, commonly planted in our area, and has a small to medium-sized fruit. Again, the equipment that we evaluated was designed for raspberries and blueberries. So we knew we'd want to stick to a smaller fruit to minimize experimental issues. The statistical design was a split plot with the main plots arranged in a randomized complete block. So the first factor was harvest method. The 9-tree main plots were either hand-harvested or machine-harvested. And the second factor was duration of ambient storage. Single crates weighing on average 18 kilograms when filled, replicated 4 times. And so the crates were either stored for 0, 2, or 4 weeks at an average temperature of 13.3 degrees Celsius. If you talk to the growers, there's a common practice known as sweating. At least in our region, it's common practice. It's called sweating because of the observation that the fruit are dehydrating. To provide you a visualization, so the top left, hand harvest, laborers hand harvesting the cider apples. The top middle is a over-the-row harvester manufactured by Litau, the facility in Stateon, Oregon, and Linden, Washington. And then to give you an idea of how the machine works, basically there's 2 columns that have fingers that rotate 180 degrees perpendicular to the main axis of the tree, and they either directly hit the fruit or indirectly knock it off, and the fruit, by hitting the wood that the fruit's attached to, and it falls into this catch plate or directly into the cups that form the belt that transfer the fruit to the top of the machine. Upon completion of storage treatment, each created fruit was milled, pressed, and collected in 3.8 liter jugs or 1 gallons. And then each of the jugs of juice was fermented via the same fermentation protocol. Some highlights of the protocol, all juice was fermented by the same champagne yeast, the yeast chosen because it's commonly utilized and recommended in our area. All the juice was sulfided for antimicrobial control, all supplemented with pectinase and yeast nutrient, and it was all matured for 3 months. Data that I collected. So monitored storage temperature, measured quality characteristics, specific gravity and alcohol by volume were measured by an alkalizer ME. The pH and tritriolicity were measured by an automated titrator, and tannin was measured utilizing a Lowenthal titration method. And the photographs in the bottom, that's a screen of the alkalizer ME. There's the automated titrator, and then the titration setup. Further data was collected was total phenolics and total tannins. I utilized the Harbertson et al. Protein precipitation assay. So basically for total phenolics, took a juice or a cider sample, diluted in buffer, then added ferric chloride, which after some time allowed us to take an absorbance reading at 510 nanometers. Total tannins, same procedure, but first we had to co-precipitate the tannins with protein utilizing bovine serum albumin, then diluted the pellet in buffer, added the ferric chloride, and again took an absorbance reading. Finally, did perform polyphenol quantification at the Richland Wine Science Center utilizing ultra-high performance liquid chromatography coupled with quadruple time-of-flight mass spectroscopy. Initial data was processed by myself utilizing Mass Hunter qualitative analysis, and then the data was further processed by Dr. Collins at the Wine Science Center with Mass Profiler Professional. It's $20,000 software, only 2 uses he has, so logistically he had to process that data. Now to the results that I have available to date. So here in Table 1, I have the quality characteristics. So specific gravity, alcohol by volume, pH, tritratable acidity, and tritratable tannin. You'll note for both the juice and the cider, no significant differences due to harvest method, but unsurprisingly, there was differences due to duration of ambient storage. If we look at the juice, sweating obviously occurred, and specifically dehydration or concentration of content. So specific gravity increased over time from 0 to 4, and then pH dropped and titratable acidity increased. With cider, the specific gravity was equal. That's not surprising because we targeted the end of fermentation at an exact value of 0.99 specific gravity. ABV differed over time, but again, that's because our specific gravity initially was different with time. And then pH, TA, and tannin for cider did not differ due to duration of ambient storage. If you look at table 2, so here are the total phenolics and total tannins, and then non-tannin phenolics, which was taken as the difference between the measurements of total phenolics and total tannins. If you look at both juice and cider, there's no significant difference to the duration of ambient storage, but we did see a significant difference to the harvest method, and that was in the juice. So the total tannins in the machine-harvested samples were significantly lower than the hand-harvested samples. And correspondingly, inversely, the non-tannin phenolics were higher in the machine than the hand. An expected result for the juice, because we had seen that the machine-harvested samples are 100% bruised and overall greatly more damaged than the hand. And with chemical processes such as oxidation, polymerization, we expected the machine-harvested samples to have a different polyphenol composition than the hand. Now, interestingly, if you look at the cider samples, there was no significant difference in total tannins or total phenolics due to harvest method. Now, looking at the preliminary results, analysis not fully complete yet. If we look at this principal component analysis biplot for the juice, PCAs I'm going to show you, the hand samples are in red, the machine samples are in blue, and then the duration of ambient storage, 4 weeks is a square, 2 weeks a triangle, and zero is a circle. For the juice, there really was no grouping or correlations that we could see. Cider was the same story, really nothing that stood out. But if we went with our expectations, which was the hand harvest treatments would have no difference over storage time, because initially there's no difference in damage and therefore no difference over time. If you took out hand and you just looked at machine and you looked at it over duration of ambient storage, we did see three groupings, which again was expected. So the greatly damaged fruit, you expose it to ambient temperature, and from 0 to 2 to 4, we expected the polyphenol compositions to differ. And so we see that with the three groupings, the 4, the 2, and the 0 week samples. So in summary of the results thus far, as I stated, the total phenolics of juice did not significantly differ due to harvest method, but the machine harvested juice samples had lower tannins than hand harvested juice. Now that's the raw product. But if we look at the final product, the total phenolics and total tannins of cider did not significantly differ due to harvest method. And then looking at the UHPLC-MS work thus far, there's compositional differences due to duration of ambient storage, but no differentiation due to harvest method. So what is the conclusion, or really the application? Machine harvesting of cider apples does not significantly impact the polyphenol composition of cider compared to hand harvesting. So our adoption recommendation to cider apple growers continues to be supported. It's a viable adoption. Now, this is all pursuant to the processing and fermentation protocols in this study. We recommend future research should examine the variables of juice extraction, so for example, skin contact time. So in this study, and as I believe most cider makers produce cider, more similar to a white wine than red wine, there's minimal contact time between the skins, which have polyphenols, and the juice. So possibly, if we manipulated and had a longer extraction time, that may have an impact. The other one is the cider refinement. In our study, we added no fining agents, so no clarifiers, no flavor modifiers. But we know cider makers do add, for example, protein agents, and those could have an impact. Possibly, maybe there is a difference in the final product. But thus far, machine harvesting for cider apple looks quite promising. I'd like to acknowledge my committee, Dr. Carol Miles, Dr. Carolyn Ross, Dr. Tom Collins, and Dr. Desmond Lane, staff that supported me, and our funders. And in closing, I think I have a minute. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer those. If you'd like to email me, it's on the slide. Or if you'd like to see any other information, it's on cider.wcu.edu. Thank you. Yes? So the question was, we used a single varietal for our study, but what if it was a blend? So while I've seen varietal ciders produced, probably the majority are blended. We did not attempt to evaluate blending because it doesn't. Cider making incorporates an art and a science. We really don't do any of the blending because there's just so many subjective decisions with that. So I can't tell you what could be, but that is a valid point. Oh, that's it. Thank you.